Well, good morning, everyone. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go to his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So let's stand this morning and let's go into his courts with praise and let's lift up his name.
The God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging seas. My God, he holds a victory. Yeah. Well, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross. And he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. But there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, and now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. And we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There's joy in this house today. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good to see you this morning. We welcome you to Noble Assembly of God. As you can see, there's a lot of people gone today, a lot of people traveling on vacation, going general counsel and what have you. But we're glad that you are here. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this another service that we can come and worship and praise your name, that we can be challenged by the word of God, that we can pray together, we can worship together, we can fellowship together. We pray that your kingdom come and your will be done here today at Noble Assembly of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. As we said, we're so glad you are here today. And if you're a guest today, if there's a guest card in front of you there in the seat, just fill it out and put it in the offering envelope, and we will be able to get in touch with you. We're going to roll a video about our daughter's conference coming up, so go ahead and play that.
With the wrong daughter.
Ladies, we encourage you to go to that. If you'd like to know information, see Carol Lance there at the sound booth, or see Kelly Freeman. Kelly and Pastor Field are gone on vacation today, but you can check that out. I know the ladies who have gone in the past have really enjoyed those services there at Crossroads Church in September. We're having a discovery and membership class, discovery/membership class coming up. If you're new to the church or would just like to know more information about the church and what we believe and what we teach and preach and some of the history and different things about the church, on August the 22nd and the 29th, right over here in this area that we used to have the senior adult class, we're going to be setting up the dividers there and having class on that Sunday, and we'll also be talking about church membership, so that keep that in mind. In a week or so, we're going to be having our Missionette celebration for our Honor Stars and Girls Only Stars. The information's there in your bulletin. We appreciate these girls that have worked hard to achieve this goal, and so that is going to be on August the 14th at Crossroads Church. And so there are announcements in your bulletin. There will not be intercessory prayer meeting this Tuesday nor the next Tuesday, but back on the 17th it will continue. So, amen. Ushers, would you come? We're going to receive our offering this morning. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. I really appreciate your faithfulness and tithes. You've noticed the parking lot is all resurfaced and redone, and there's... because of God's blessing and your faithfulness, we have been able to do that. And thank the Lord for that. It really was needing a lot of help. And so you'll see that it's all done. We've added some more parking spaces over here for handicap. We are trying to keep the aisle clear in the breezeway. Please do not park in the area of the breezeway. And that will help us keep the lanes clear and more people can get through. It's kind of really gets bunched up over here sometimes. So anyway, it's all nice and done and looks great. Father God, bless this offering today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in our giving, and we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Worship team is coming back to lead us in worship.
Go ahead and stand up once the offering plate passes by.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Oh, Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. Wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers rise, let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering. Your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring, this is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering. Surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to.
This week I was thinking about who God is. And the things that you look back in the Bible and you think of, this is what I think of about God. And we think of God, it created the heavens and the earth, right? When we think about God, that he walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, it says in the Bible. And we think that God is the one who shut the door on Noah's Ark. We think that God is the one who spoke to Moses in the fiery bush. We think that God is the one that was in the, shut the mouths, he sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions with Daniel in the lion's den. God was the one who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We think about God and the things that he's done in the Bible for our heroes of the faith, right? But we can also think about what God has done for us. It's not just what God has done in the Bible, but God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross. God has also said that if we have a need, that we are to go to him, that we are to pray about it, and then thank him for all that he has done. He said also that he will never leave us or forsake us. God is such an awesome and amazing God. There is no one above him, no God above him. He is the God, the great God. He is the awesome and amazing and wonderful God. He is my God, and I'm sure, I hope he's your God too, right?
You lay it down to rest, and you. Jesus, the Son of God, hung on a cross to die, but not even death.
For me to sing to you.
Praise God. God is for us. Amen. Amen. Let me mention some prayer needs this morning. Since I've seen you last Sunday, I've had a baby granddaughter that was born. So we're praying that all grows well with Kindler Grace Lance that was born last Sunday afternoon. So pray Mama and Jessica is doing fine, and Daddy Caleb is doing fine, and Big Brother Cruz is hanging out pretty good too. So praise God for that. So let's lift her up. General Counsel starts this week in Orlando, Florida. It's the decision-making body that meets every 2 years of our Assemblies of God Fellowship. Let's just pray that God's will be done there. Shirley Grindstaff fell and is in a lot of pain. I'm going to lift her up. Ronnie Boggs' brother, Carl, passed away early this morning, so we want to lift up Carl's family and, of course, Ronnie and all the family. Steve and Shelley Tyler here today, and continue to pray for them as they recover from this fire where they've lost all that they own. Thank you for the generous offering that was received last week. Thank you for your giving for that. Continue to pray for Elaine Smith, that the Lord would be with her. Bill Burroughs needs a touch from the Lord, and there's others. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting, we go into a lot more detail of those in need, and we have a whole list. And so, but let's just lift these up to the Lord this morning. And, of course, pray for our nation, pray for our country, pray for the church, pray for the lost. Amen. I believe God still does miracles, still brings revival, still brings healing. Amen. Still brings salvation. Hallelujah. So, Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon a God who is alive and well, who is seated at the right hand of the Father Jesus, and you are interceding and praying for those here on earth. And by your Holy Spirit, you are saving and healing and ministering comfort and peace and help to those that are here. We pray that you continue to bless and guide and direct our nation, our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our other leaders, Lord, that you would just help them to administer in truth and in righteousness. We pray, Father God, that you bring revival to America. Lord, we thank you for Kindler Grace that was born last Sunday. I pray that you continue to help her to grow strong and healthy, grow up to love you and to serve you. Bless her family. We pray for the general counsel this week as it begins. We just pray for our leadership that they would make decisions that are in keeping with your will. We pray for Shirley today that you would give her a touch in her body. We pray for Ronnie Boggs' brother's family as he passed away this morning. We pray that you would just bring comfort and peace to this family. Continue to be with Steve and Shelley, Lord, as they rebuild from this fire. We pray that you go before them, meet their need in every way. We do pray for Elaine, that you continue to touch her and help her. Pray for her family, Lord, we pray. George and the others, Lord, that care for her. We pray for Bill Burroughs today, that you would touch him, that you would bring healing to his body. And others, Lord, we lift up to you. We pray, Father God, for all needs to be met. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
As the world emerges from a pandemic, it's time for a message of hope.
I want you to know tonight that God loves you.
The God Loves You Tour is a series of evangelistic events featuring encouraging music and a powerful message from Franklin Graham. This tour wouldn't be possible without dedicated volunteers.
This is a great opportunity. Whatever city you might be in, anybody can serve. That's the great thing about it. Every person plays a vital role in reaching every person who comes and makes a decision for Christ.
Our volunteers are equipped with invitations, posters, yard signs, and other materials to help us get the word out.
We really wanted to pass out flyers around our town. So let's go for it.
This is a time to bring your friends.
There are signs popping up all over town. It's an 8-city tour.
We couldn't wait to get involved. We were going to do everything we could to get people to this event so they could hear the gospel.
Volunteers Volunteers are vital in our outreach efforts, and they play a big role on the day of the event. Their work helps set the stage for the presentation of the gospel. Be prepared to see God work in a mighty way.
It's so cool to see the body come together and rally for one cause. You gotta be involved. You just gotta be involved.
You can have your life changed tonight. You can have a new beginning tonight.
How do I feel to be used by God? My tears, I think, express that.
Look what God has done. God is good.
I'm just glad that I was here. It's an experience that you cannot explain in words, but you will never forget.
I just learned of this week, that Franklin Graham is going to be on the south lawn of the state capitol on September the 25th. That is a Saturday evening, and we will be prepared to take a van for whoever would like to go to that. And so Franklin Graham, the state capitol, south lawn, on September the 25th at 7 p.m. Before that day, this is next week, there is a night of worship and prayer slated for Oklahoma City to precede this event, and that is August the 9th. That is next Monday night, a week from tomorrow night, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Southern Hills Baptist Church on South Penn. We will also take a van to that. I will make sure that we will have transportation to that if you would like to go. If you will let me know, there is not a sign-up sheet. I did not get a chance to get that out. But if you will just say, I'm interested in going on that Monday night to the night of worship and prayer, and that again is August the 9th, next Monday night. The worship will be led by Freddie Washington, who is the former worship leader at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. And it will be a great night to precede the Franklin Graham Crusade in September. Also, they are in need of altar workers, and there is some Christian life and witness classes that are taking place. One is already taking place. It was on July 13th, but there are two more. August the 19th from 6 to 9 and August the 21st from 9 to noon. If you're interested in being a counselor at this event in September, there are some of these out in the foyer. You can pick one up and you can go and be trained how to minister to people at the altar. We need to be praying for a great move of God. I think this is awesome that Oklahoma City was chosen to be one of the eight cities on his tour coming through Route 66. And so this is the only stop in Oklahoma, and I think it will be a great thing. How many of you know people need Jesus? People need hope. People need to know that there is a God in heaven who loves them, a Savior who died for them and wants to give them eternal life. If you have any other questions, see me about that. Call me during the week. Let me know. But again, next Monday night, prayer and praise rally, and then the event in September, and then the Christian life and witness classes. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. We began two weeks ago, we began a series on lessons, life lessons. I'll get it right in a minute. Life lessons. And so we were looking at different people in the Word of God, going down the alphabet. We covered three of them 2 weeks ago. Tonight or today, we're going to cover two more. And so lessons that are taught by people who now are long dead, but whose lives still speak, as Hebrews 11:4 says. It says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks. He still speaks to us by his example of faith. By his example of faith. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us and minister to each and every need today. And those watching over the live stream, I pray that you would touch their hearts, and you know where they're at and what they need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. People who are long dead yet still speak. if we only have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Many times in the book of Revelation, John writes, if you have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying. And I believe the Holy Spirit still speaks. Amen? He's still speaking today. Those days aren't gone. In the first message, we looked at life lessons from Abel. Who was the second one? Barnabas. Who was third? Caleb. Abel, Barnabas, and Caleb. From Abel's life, we learned to seek to do what is right. That was the message that we gathered from his life, is always seek to do what's right. Do what pleases God. Do what honors God. And from Barnabas, we learned how that we need to be an encourager, that we need to be a lifter. We may not have a well-known name. And we mentioned about the movie Hidden Figures, which incidentally was on last night. I saw the tail end of it. You may be a no-name in the sense of what you do for the Lord, but how many of you know God knows your name? God knows who you are, and God sees. And so we talked about being an encourager. And then we looked at Caleb, and from Caleb's life, we wanted to learn to be a faith-filled man or woman of God. Be a faith-filled. Caleb said, give me this mountain. He was 85 years old. He said, I'm just as strong now at 85 as I was at 40. And God gave him victory as he went forward in faith. Today, we're going to look at three more. We're going to look at the letters D, E, and F as we continue life lessons. So D, not David, not Daniel. I could learn, or we could talk about and learn a lot from Daniel, how he didn't bow, how he put God first. And we could talk about David, how he was a man after God's own heart and all the good things. But those guys are talked about all the time. We heard a lot of messages about Daniel, about David. I want to give you somebody that you probably hadn't heard of, or at least you don't think of very often. And it's found in the book of 3 John. 3 John, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to go ahead and read all 12 of these verses. We're actually going to talk about two people. One's a good example and one's a bad example. How many of you know the pages of Scripture contain good lessons from people who lived a good life of faith, and they also contain some not so good lessons and some negative things that we sure don't want to do? The Bible is honest. It gives us both scenarios. So we're going to look at two men that are lesser known. 3 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter. This letter is from John the Elder. I am writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. So there we have two men there, Diotrephes and Demetrius, two church leaders whose lives spoke very opposite lessons to us. Diotrephes, he's full of himself. He's prideful. He loves to be the leader. He wants to be the leader, and he refuses to do what's right. He doesn't welcome the teachers. He speaks bad against John and the other apostles, and he's full of himself. He's a bad example, as John himself says, even though he is in the church. Can I tell you that the devil goes to church? Many times the devil sneaks in on the coattails of those who follow the flesh rather than the spirit. The devil absolutely goes to church, because there are times we all sometimes get in the flesh, or we act and we do things that we shouldn't do. And all of us battle the flesh, but we cannot let it win and determine our course and determine our decisions. That's why there have been church splits in the past over the color of the carpet and other ridiculous things. We must not follow the flesh. We must follow the spirit and do what's right. Amen? Demetrius sought to do that. He sought to do what was right. As a result, he was highly thought of, the word says, and his actions backed up his words. Verse 11 reminds us of that. It says, remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. So here's the life lesson from Demetrius and Diotrephes. Always seek to be a good example in word and deed. Always seek to be a good example in word and in deed. Be a Demetrius, not a Diotrephes. And usually those who make the best leaders are those who don't particularly care if they are the leader. If there's an election for some position going on, those that are going around and promoting themselves are probably not the one that you want to pick. It's usually those who could really not care whether they're the leader or not. Be a person who puts principle and truth, hear me on this, be a person who puts principle and truth over preference and tradition. Hey, I'm going to be a person that promotes the truth and principles of the Word of God. It's not my personal preference on certain things, but it's the truth and it's the principles of the Word of God that are most important. So be a good follower. And if you are chosen to lead, do it with humility and with a servant's heart. That's what Demetrius was like. Be a Demetrius, not a Diotrephes. A couple of life lessons we learn from two men who we probably don't think of very often. Now let's move back to the Old Testament. That was the New Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. Enoch, Hebrews chapter 11, where we read a moment ago, if we look to the next verse, we stopped reading at verse 4. Look at Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Back in Genesis, we learn a little bit more about Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. It says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship. Everybody say close fellowship. Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. Wow, Enoch walked closely with the Lord. So closely that one day when he was out walking with the Lord just said to him, Enoch, why don't you just come to my house? Why don't you just come over and stay at my house? And then he went to heaven and he was never seen after that. Can you imagine his family? Imagine his son or grandson out there. Hey, has anybody seen Dad? Yeah, he went for a walk. He said he was going to go pray and talk to God. Well, I haven't seen him, and that was like early this morning. He disappeared. Something happened to him. Evidently, walking closely with the God was a rarity in those days, because it makes specific mention of that. And because by the time his great-grandson was alive, he was also the only one on earth that was walking with God, and his name was Noah. His great-grandson was Noah. So everything else and everybody else had gotten off track and went whack. Off track and whack. Genesis 6:5 says, "The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil." So, if my math is correct, Noah's dad, whose name was Lamech, died 5 years before the flood started. So, according to the figures it gives, if you figure it out, I spent 30 minutes trying to figure through this week, and who, how old so-and-so was when their dad, you know, passed away, and if their grandson was alive, and I was looking at all that. Finally, I got frustrated and confused. It didn't really matter. I was taking too much time to try to figure it out. But I did figure out enough of it that Noah's dad, Lamech, was alive while Noah was building the boat. And 5 years before the flood, he died. Methuselah, Noah's grandpa, not great-grandpa, great-grandpa was Enoch. His grandpa was Methuselah, who was the longest person that ever lived on the earth. 969 years. Longest person ever to live. Apparently, Methuselah died right at the beginning of the flood, or maybe, this is worse yet, maybe in the flood. Maybe grandpa wasn't even serving the Lord. Maybe his dad Lamech wasn't serving the Lord. Because the Bible says by the time Noah came along, there was nobody righteous on earth. Everybody was doing evil and bad. The only person God could look down on the earth and see that was doing right was Noah and his family. And like I said, if you do the math, Lamech was alive. Methuselah died the day the flood started, or maybe in the flood. If you figure your math differently and you look at it, you get back to me. But that's what I could figure. Now, thankfully, Noah walked in the ways of his great-grandpa, Enoch, and thereby lived to be one of the most well-known people in history. You ask anybody that's really not a Christian who they think of when they think of the Bible, and most people will probably say, Noah. Noah in the ark. That's one of the first stories or one of the first names that pop up in people's minds that don't really know God. They just, well, I've heard of Noah, you know. And so look at Genesis 6:9 concerning Noah. We're not really talking about him. We're talking about his great-grandpa, Enoch. But verse 9, chapter 6 says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God." Same words that described his great-grandpa. They walked in close fellowship. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then verse 22, "So Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him." And then verse 1 of chapter 7, "When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous.'" You alone. Can I say, and Donna mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, she taught a great lesson, God always has a remnant. There's always going to be somebody serving. It may get down to just a few. It may get down to just you and your family, but God's always going to have some people that follow him. So what's the life lesson from Enoch? I believe the life lesson is this: leave a godly legacy. Leave a godly legacy. Yes, your children and your grandchildren are going to have to make up their own minds and their own decision about God. Don't we wish we could make it for them? Don't I wish the 7 grandkids that I have now that I could get saved for them? Briley, Paxton, Jace, Cruz, Brindley, Blair, and now Kindler are all saved. I decree it by Steve Lance and sign my name. Don't I wish I could do that? I would never have to worry about them, but I can't do that. They are all going to have to make a decision for themselves who they're going to serve. But I can, and you can in your family, make an example of your life that if they go to hell, and I preached this in a message called Roadblocks to Hell, they're going to have to go around the roadblock of your testimony and your legacy. I hope my kids and my grandkids, if the Lord tarries and I go by the way of death and I'm long gone 50 years from now, I hope they can look back and when they see my tombstone, they could be reminded that Grandpa loved Jesus. That Grandpa loved the Lord. That Grandpa was a preacher. And I hope that some point in their life, if they are not saved, they'll at least look at that and they're going to have to go around that. I don't care if Grandpa was a preacher or not. I'm doing things my way. I hope they can't say that. I hope they'll say, yes, I remember the legacy of Grandpa Pastor Steve. And the same is true of us, each one. Leave to the best of your ability and by God's help. How many of you know it's all by God's grace and God's help we do anything? None of us are totally, perfectly righteous. It's by God's grace that we have anything to offer and any kind of a testimony. Without the Lord, we're as good as anybody else or as bad as anybody else. Leave a godly legacy. Did Methuselah and Lamech follow the Lord like their dad and grandpa Enoch? Scripture doesn't say. It's interesting that the way their death was, that they died about the time the flood started or 5 years before, and the Lord looked down and couldn't find anybody righteous but Noah. So I don't know. Scriptures are silent. But we do know that great-grandson Noah did walk with the Lord, and we are here today and we are talking about it and we are encouraged by his example of faith. He walked in a world that wasn't a world that was conducive to the things of God. A kind of a lot more like our world's getting today. Even the non-believers in our world a few years ago, there used to be a halfway sense of God in society. They may not be believers, but at least they had some sense of morality. We're about to go off the deep end like Sodom and Gomorrah in a lot of places. Sad to say. But on the other hand, that's when God can shine through you the brightest, when it's the darkest all around. So be encouraged. Let your light shine. It may be little, but let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And don't let Satan it out. Like the old song says. Leave a godly legacy. Here's a great question to consider. How will you be remembered? How will you be remembered? A great Christian, one who really loved God and loved their family and served people, or one that kind of loved God, kind of served people, and other times was a pain in the behind. How will we be remembered? I think that's a good question we need to think about. How will we be remembered? What kind of legacy are we leaving? One day when you are long dead, what will your family say about you and your faith? Your character. your walk with God? Will there be a life lesson worth talking about? Why is it so quiet in here? Not even an amen. I mean, am I not speaking the truth or am I? It's absolutely the truth. I think we have to consider that. There's places in the Bible where the Word of God says, consider your ways. When we come to the communion table once a month, you know, one of the reasons we do that is not just to remember the Lord, but it's to inspect ourselves. We do to look at our own life, take a little inventory of our spiritual life and our walk with God. That's one of the reasons we are to honor the Lord's Supper every month or as often as we do it. Here it's once a month. And we're going to do that here just a little bit. So my encourage you today as pastor is be like Enoch and say, I, by God's grace and help, am going to leave a godly legacy. And you say, I may have to start today. I've not been so hot lately. You know, I haven't done it always right. But starting today, I'm going to endeavor by God's grace and by the help of the Holy Spirit to leave a godly example and legacy. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Now we're going to jump back to the New Testament. We're kind of flip-flopping New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament. I don't know if I can keep that up through 26 letters, but we'll see. Still trying to figure out who I'm going to use when I get to X. Xerxes? That's about the only X I could think of. All right, number three, third character for the day. We've looked at Demetrius, be a good example. We've looked at Enoch, leave a godly legacy. And now E, or F. And this one is not such a good example. This is one of those ones that's on the negative side. Felix. Felix. You say, who in the world was Felix? Well, he's found in Acts chapter 24, and he is not a cat. He is the governor or the procurator of Judea. He's basically like our governor. Governor Felix in Acts chapter 24. You see, the Apostle Paul had been preaching. He had been telling people about the Lord. He had been laying hands on people, and people didn't like it. They didn't like the truth that he was proclaiming. They got him all in trouble, and he had to go before the government, and that's where we're at. He's on trial now before the governor of the land, Governor Felix. Acts 24, begin at verse 20. Paul is talking. He says, ask these men here what crime the Jewish high council found me guilty of, except for the one time I shouted out, I am on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. At that point, Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. A few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. You see, that's why Felix was familiar with Christianity. He was familiar with the Jewish law, and he was familiar with some of the things of the way. The Bible just said that. He was familiar with the way. He had heard about Christ. That's what Christianity was called in the first century, was the way. They were way people. We call them Christians today, but back then they were called members of the way, the truth, and the life. They believed in Jesus. So anyway, Drusilla is back with him. It says in verse 24, sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. Go away for now, he replied. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him. After 2 years went by in this way, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. So you got Festus, coming after Felix. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. So Governor Felix was so close, but yet so far from the truth. He was familiar with Christianity, but procrastinated his decision to trust the Lord. Can I tell you that being familiar with something doesn't mean you have faith? Being familiar with the Lord doesn't mean you have faith. Knowing about God, knowing about the Bible, knowing about Jesus, knowing the Christmas story and the Easter story, and knowing all the things that we talk about in church doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You're just familiar with it. Familiar does not equal faith. There's going to be a whole lot of people in hell that are familiar with God, but they never had faith in God. They never put their trust in Jesus Christ. They never let him be the one that they live for. They live for themselves, but we're familiar with the Lord. What was in Felix's way? You know, he heard, and the Bible says he got frightened. I kind of think maybe he got under conviction. You know what that means, right? The Holy Spirit's dealing. He's under conviction. Man, he's frightened. He's talking about judgment, talking about all this. He goes, man, I'm frightened. And he sent him away, and then he would call him back in to talk with him a lot more. Well, what was in his way? I think verse 27 may give us a hint. After 2 years went by in this way, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. Because he wanted favor. Because he wanted to be politically correct. Felix became frightened and under conviction of the Holy Spirit and wanted more time. He wanted a more convenient time, but he wanted the favor of people over the forgiveness of God. He wanted favor and political correctness over being right and being good and saved and having faith in Christ. So what's the life lesson concerning Felix? Don't play games with God. Don't play games with God. That's the life lesson. Today, the Bible says, is the day of what? Of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time, not when you're 42 or 92. Or whatever age in the distance you think you're going to get really serious with God. The Bible says today is the day. You don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know the life that he has planned for you. If you'll give your life complete to him in his hands and take yourself out of the driver's seat and put God there, you don't know what God can do with you. And you never know what time God's going to be through with you. You never know when your number's going to be up. You never know when something's going to happen. I just read on Facebook this morning about a guy that I went to college with. He said, I have a heavy heart this morning. My oldest son passed away yesterday. And I'm guessing we were about the same age in college. His son is probably in his 30s. I saw his picture. I don't know him. But how sad. You never know. You never know. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. No one knows if they have plenty of time. I'm reminded of that gospel song by that name. Could I sing it to you? I love to sing, so, Pastor, why do you always do that? Because I like to. I got up on Sunday morning. I went to the church at 10. I listened to the words that I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young. I had plenty of time. I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, out to beat the other fellow, out to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful. Having fun is not a crime. So I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound. To eternal darkness or to a heavenly crown. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime. So I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Well, before I knew what had happened, life seems had passed away, and millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name he calls is mine. Oh, but I thought I had plenty of time. Eternity waits. I've got plenty of time to think of all the days that Christ could have been mine. Now my chance is over. I've been left behind. And here am I. I've got plenty of time. Now I've got nothing but plenty of time. Don't play games with God like Felix. Walk with God like Enoch and like Noah. To recap, Demetrius set a good example. Diotrephes set a bad example. Even though they both claimed to be in the church, one lived a life of exemplary faith and conduct. The other one did not. And then we talked about Enoch, about leaving a godly legacy, hoping and praying and believing for your family, but even if it's just yourself, saying, I'm going to walk with God. And then Felix, don't play games with God. Can I ask you where you are today, spiritually speaking? Where are you? I trust today that you are right with God, that you are seeking to walk with Him, that you are seeking His ways and His word, and that you are seeking His grace and His mercy, and seeking to be a witness wherever you go, seeking to walk in close fellowship with Him. Learning to be like Jesus. If not, today is your day. And I would love to pray with you right now. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? We're going to do communion in just a moment, but as I said a moment ago, communion and preparing our hearts for communion is also taking an inventory of where we are spiritually. So right now, look into your heart. Do you see Jesus there? Is He seated on the throne of your heart, or are you there? Have you kind of pushed Him off in the corner, or is He seated on the throne and in charge of your life? Lord God, we look into our hearts right now, and we just pause on this Sunday morning, August the 1st, to examine our own hearts and our own life. Thank you, Lord, for the examples, good and bad, that fill the pages of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that convicts us and helps us to stay on track. Thank you, God, for your long-suffering patience that you have, because you're not willing that any should perish. Lord, I pray if there's one here today watching over the internet or in this sanctuary today that is not right with you, that right now in this very holy moment, they would say, God, forgive me. Lord, come into my heart and wash me clean and make me a new person. Lord God, I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, I thank you for taking my sins to the cross, shedding your blood that I might be forgiven. Holy Spirit, move into my heart and help me become that new creation. Help me become that mature follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that I know you want me to become. Oh, Father God, I want to give my heart and my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Give me new life. Let me have peace with God. For you said there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And those who are justified by faith have peace with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me salvation on this Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, even when it gets hard, even when it, I feel like I'm the only one at school or at work or in my neighborhood or in my family that loves you, Lord, help me to stay the course and stand true. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for empowering me. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you all of me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could we sing that song together right now as just as a song of declaration of our faith? I trust maybe some of you today have prayed that prayer along with me and you asked for forgiveness. That's what it's all about, is to know the Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within adore. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. That's our desire. Have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody pray that prayer for the first time today? Maybe a prayer of salvation? Okay. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. Maybe you watching on the internet. I pray that somebody watching may have made that decision. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. Our musicians are going to sing a song here. What I'm going to invite you to do is to come forward. Our men are going to be stationed down here. And I want you to have communion on your own. We're not going to do it together as a church. We're going to do it as you want to do it. When you want to do it, with your spouse, with your family, with your kids, or if you're by yourself, you can by yourself or you can gather with somebody else. But just your time to celebrate the blood of Jesus, to celebrate what he's done for you. He's done it for you. That ought to make you smile this morning. He's done it for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. Men, would you go ahead and take your place? Father, in just a moment, we're going to be coming forward to receive communion. We're going to be remembering the price that you paid. We're going to be remembering, Lord, the bread and the blood and the juice that represent your broken body and your blood. And we're going to say thank you. And we're going to give you praise and thanksgiving for what you have done, the salvation you have brought, the blessing you have brought to our family and to our future. So, Lord, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come this morning?
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. In sin, separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Inside my tomb of sin, where you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood. Thank you, Jesus.
Next week, we will come back with life lessons number 3 on, let's see, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and I. I don't know what they're going to be yet. Your guess is as good as mine at this point, but we'll find out together. God bless you all. Have a great Sunday.